Continuing with Proudhon, society among the animals is simple. With man, it is complex. Man is associated with man by the same instinct which associates animal with animal. But man is associated differently from the animal. And it is this difference in association which constitutes the difference in morality. I have proved, says Proudhon, at too great length, perhaps, both by the spirit of the laws which regard property as the basis of society and by political economy, that inequality of conditions is justified neither by priority of occupation nor superiority of talent, service, industry, and capacity. But although equality of conditions is a necessary consequence of natural right, of liberty, of the laws of production, of the capacity of physical nature, and of the principle of society itself, it does not prevent the social sentiment from stepping over the boundaries of debt and credit. The fields of benevolence and love extend far beyond, and when economy has adjusted its balance, the mind begins to benefit by its own justice, and the heart expands in the boundlessness of its affection. The social sentiment then takes on a new character, which varies with different persons. In the strong, it becomes the pleasure of generosity. Among equals, frank and cordial friendship. In the weak, the pleasure of admiration and gratitude. The man who is superior in strength, skill, or courage knows that he owes all that he is to society, without which he could not exist. He knows that in treating him precisely as it does the lowest of its members, society discharges its whole duty towards him. But he does not underrate his faculties. He's no less conscious of his power and his greatness. And it is this voluntary reverence which he pays to humanity, this avowal that he is but an instrument of nature, who is alone worthy of glory and worship. It is, I say, this simultaneous confession of the heart and the mind, this genuine adoration of the great being that distinguishes and elevates man and lifts him to a degree of social morality to which the beast is powerless to attain. And we're going to return to that quote next week, because each time I read it, I think a little bit different. But what I thought the first time I read it was this. I wonder whether in the capacity for mutual aid, which Kropotkin, because now that I'm reading it, I'm hearing him talk about, which is obvious, it's just, you know, we're in a different space and different places and different beings almost. But that he is talking about our oneness, our universal spirit, the great spirit. And I'm smiling because I'm thinking of, there's a film I haven't heard spoken of for a while called Watership Down, and the rabbits, who are the characters in the film, also have the great spirit. So my original thought, whether in the capacity for mutual aid, which Kropotkin argues provides to those who provide it an evolutionary advantage, whether in those behaviors that display it, non-human animals walk this homage rather than talk it, but have it nonetheless. And I have to add this, what I was writing yesterday on June 18, 2016, this additional thought. continuing to think, as I have much these days, about the loss of Prince, that it is precisely these that Proudhon describes as knowing their greatness, and who are therefore capable of modeling what that means for us to see an allegiance to the earth, to life, to our sisters and brothers, scorning the stolen authority of the global statesman over us, disdaining the lie that greatness lies in being less, in embracing smallness in order to support supposed genius or the most excellent, a false self-sacrifice that we are told advances all of us. And it's a false self-sacrifice because the self was not allowed to exist. A self pounded small with a parent's insistence on obedience. That it is precisely those who do not underrate their faculties, who are conscious of their power and greatness, who understand it as a voluntary reverence paid to humanity, an avowal that they are but an instrument of nature, who is alone worthy, nature, alone worthy, the earth, alone worthy of glory and worship. That is simply saying life, us, the all of us. Continuance. It is precisely these the power guys do not want us to see. Hence the sacrifice of our prophets. And hence the need for us to reclaim our stolen greatness. There need to be too many of us for them to imagine it can be contained. We are 7 billion, as I remind us often, and they are the tiny, minuscule few struggling with the loss of their authenticness, furious at any who still have it. So let's give them and ourselves a new system, not a system, a world in which they can rediscover, reunite with their true power, and allow ourselves the joy and freedom and community that we have been struggling to restore for 10,000 years and more. Thank you so much for hanging with me. I am so grateful that you are there. And each day reminded of the truth that we need that love in our bodies, in our hearts, at all times. And you give that to me when I'm here. And I have to stretch it out, make it last for another week. Until then, peace. You know, for some reason, and this is the first time this has happened, her voice, Sarah Vaughan's voice, is not is really not audible. So maybe I'll play something else. Apologies for that. I have no idea why that happened. Let's hope we have better luck with this one.
Went to see my sweetheart last night around about 10. She said, "Home, sweet papa, squeeze me every night and then." I'll keep a rolling with my baby. I'll keep a rolling with my baby. I'll keep a rolling with my baby. Cause she's sweet that way. We went out to a movie. Stopped in the very last row. We hadn't been there a good 5 minutes before she's ready to go. I had to roll with my baby. I had to roll with my baby. I had to roll with my baby. Cause she's sweet that way. I've got a quarter, a nickel and a dime. Can't buy me no a whiskey. I guess I'll have to sell. She's sweet that way.